it come to me. I said, we need to talk about spirit, soul, and body. And then what does Pastor Todd get up and do last Sunday? He said, we're going to start spirit, soul, and body. But that's God, you know. That's God, and it's good to be in tune with the Spirit of God, because it you know, we have to take steps of faith, and we have to keep in mind that if we're going to be pleasing to God, that we have to walk by faith. And you know, we like to know the outcome, but lots of times we don't see the outcome, and we're not designed to. But he knows the end from the beginning. And so he knows exactly how to get us there, as long as we're keeping him first. And I know a lot of people don't agree with that kind of terminology, but anyway, we're part of the vine, ain't that right? He says, "I am the true vine, and you are the branches," and we're called to bear fruit. And so, if he's the true vine, then there's other false vines out there. That right, and it's easy to get connected to the wrong thing. And I'm a kind of an old school person. We've been talking in here in prayer class about what it was when we were children and some of the wrong beliefs that we had and were taught. But you got to understand that those people's hearts were in the right place. They were willing to walk in the light that they had. And to teach you, when I think about the old days, I think about the discipline and the honor that people had, and we don't have that now. It's very different. People had good morals. For the most part, my granddad was, you know, I've talked about him many times. He was a rough customer, but he had morals about him. Now, and I've heard Joseph Prince say this, and I thought it was really good. He said, we were designed to have a moral compass in us. You know, that's part of God's creation, and that's true. You know, we were created in His image, but. But if we depend solely on that and don't have the standard of God's word in our life, then what happens? That morality it declines and decays as generations grow. And you're depending on man's ideas instead of the standard of the word of God. And that'll get you in trouble. We see that a lot, don't we? But anyway, I was thinking about the old days. And the things I was taught, and I'm thankful for them. Were they all right? No. But you know, what I've taught, has it been all right? No. I have learned and growed, as we all do. And that's where we got to depend on God and the Spirit of God to lead us and guide us. You know, as long as we're acknowledging Him and all our ways, we have to keep faith in that He will direct our path. Ain't that right? That's what He said He would do. And you know, that's my heart's desire is, you know, I definitely don't want to teach anything that would be wrong or contrary to the Word of God. Because, you know, it's, you know, He says, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So, this is what I believe in my heart is that, we have an obligation because we've been bought with a price, is what the Bible says. And that's the precious blood of the Lamb. We're not trying to earn our way into heaven by no way, by no means. We don't earn our righteousness. It's freely given to us. What we've been placed into is, you know, far more than what my mind can comprehend. I wrote this down. I heard this the other day. It says, your heart knows things that your head don't. And I was thinking about that. And the example that the Lord showed me was my wife. You know, I met Teresa probably when I was 11 or 12 years old. And I was working in a service station. And her dad come through. And They were in a big blue Bonneville car. I mean, that cars back then were tanks. I called them tanks, you know. Well, the old service station I worked at was a Shell station, and the gas was colored back then. It, you know, yellow for regular, red for high test, and of course the unleaded was starting to come out, and it was green. But if you got that gas on you back then, it would burn your skin. You know, it was strong. But she came through with her dad. And something inside of me, because see, I was born again when I was a kid. You know, I remember, you know, asking the Lord to come into my heart. But something just sparked inside of me that was the one for me. And see, that's that new creation inside. Sometimes your heart, it knows things that, you know, and I didn't understand all of it then, but, you know, as time progressed, she ended up moving in the trailer park that I lived in. So watch it. God put things together in our life, and a couple weeks ago was we celebrated our 38th wedding anniversary, so I'm very thankful for my wife.
Can I share one?
Sure.
Pastor Todd worked, and he may have told this for the poll, but I may have missed it, but he worked for Pokey Honda, where Howard worked.
Right.
And Howard was a manager at that time, and he was a salesman. And he had a picture of Nikki on his desk. Howard had a picture of Nikki on his desk. And Pastor Todd went by, and when he saw that picture, he said, "I'm going to marry that girl one day."
Is that right? I believe I've heard him tell that before.
Yes, so, I will marry
the girl. Well, see,
that was in his heart.
Mm-hmm. That was in his heart.
When he saw her, he said,
"Right." And that, to me, you know, when you hear statements like that, that your heart knows things that your head don't, it's so amazing how God can just, but still, yeah, it's left up to you to get in there and get before God and establish a relationship with Him. Because to have a relationship with somebody, you know, like Tracy and I, you know, 38 years, that just, most people don't see it that way now. They have different ideas. And that comes back to that moral compass that is built into man. And if your heart has not been born again, then you're depending on the declining idea system and morality system that is going to decay. Because, like I said, the morals that we were taught when we were young, you know, and the morals that's being taught today is very different. Because when I was a kid, there were certain things there was a line that you know you did not cross. And if you crossed, there was a punishment for it. And because I grew up without a dad, there was a line that was severed without there, because now I'm depending on my granddad to raise me. And so I lived with my grandparents. So there was a there was another step back. And what he taught me was your word was your bond. So if you gave somebody your word, then you better carry it through and see it through, even if it costs you. Because his way of putting things to me was, he says, "Let me say tell you something, boy." This way, "Let me tell you something, boy. If you owe somebody something and you can't pay it, then," he said, "don't you be running from them." He said, "You go see them and you tell them why you can't." That was the way he would talk. And so I, you know, it learned me something, you know. So, but we know that God don't do things like that as far as, but He does show us, right? He corrects us with His word. And we're going to see some of that. But anyway, we were talking about some of the things we were talking about last week about growing up how we related to some of the things we learned when we were kids. And that, so that's what we were talking about, Mike and Kim. I know y'all come in. But anyway, but we were talking about You know, they walked in the light that they had back then. Was it all right? No, it wasn't all correct. Just like today. You know, we're walking in everything we need to know? No, we're not. We're growing, ain't that right? Yeah. But thank God that we're coming to learn. It's really interesting the value that people put on things. You know, if this was really valuable to somebody, would we have more than five people in here? I mean, what do people put value in these days? Kids? Money? Careers? What I see more than anything is children. They put children before anything else. You know, they'll haul them to games. They'll haul them over here. They'll do this. And they're gone for days. But if it come to church, you know, well, that's the Lord's day. That's when we rest. But we got three games we're going to play today, of course. But we're going to rest. You know, it's interesting. And that kind of talk, you know, people don't like to hear that.
Well, they didn't used to have games.
They didn't.
That's right.
You know, yes, Miss Kim.
Oh, no, I can believe
it. No, that's fine. Go ahead.
Oh, I just remember a friend that their kids did all the games and so forth and sports and something, but they put that line there and they would not participate and not have their kids participate if it was a Sunday tournament or game or whatever kind of match thing that they had, and that's where they drew that line. They would not do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that certainly impacted what the children could play and do, and that's where they drew that line. And I always thought that was really admirable and good. They said, I get that, but no, we're not doing it.
How did the kids turn out?
Perfect, wonderfully.
Because there were standards, and they realized that the God was first.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we make decisions, they're not always easy to stand by and to stick to. But when you learn something from the Word of God, you know, God will honor you as you honor Him. And I know that that's contrary teaching to what a lot of people are teaching. But like I said, I'm very old school. And a lot of people depend on somebody else to do the reading for them, their teaching for them, their praying for them. You know, and to me, that was one thing that I never really done. Because even as a kid, I read my Bible. I just thought that was something that we were supposed to do. But that was something that I knew was right, and I was taught that you had to develop a relationship with the Lord. I mean, a lot of people want a Savior, but when you make Him Lord, that means that you're willing to do what He tells you to do. That's a big difference. And so when you're instructed to do something, it may cost you. First of all, your flesh don't like a lot of it. I'll tell you that. But we're called to do what with the flesh, according to what I know? We're called to crucify the flesh. From what we know about the crucifixion, it's not very good, is it? As far as what it does to your body. Right? We're called to keep our body under subjection. He told us to present our body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is our reasonable service. Pastor Todd's been asking us to read Romans. Well, Romans chapter 8 talks a lot about your flesh and keeping it where it needs to be, right? So, to dismiss yourself to saying that, you know, to go through life and you're not accountable for this, not accountable for that. To me, I believe you are. It says that we're going to stand and give an account before the Lord of the deeds that we have done. Right? He said that many's going to come in the last day and say, look, we have done this in your name, and we have done this in your name, and we've done this in your name. And he said that we even called you Lord, Lord. And he says, depart from me, you wicked ones. I don't even know you. Well, that's pretty strong stuff. He says that what I've read and understood is that he's coming and his reward is going to be with him. He's coming back to reward you for what you have done. Now, I'm not trying to say you need to work to be saved. You can't do that. It's been given to you. You have to receive that. But you are called to do certain things. And nobody can do your part in the body but you. Ain't that right? If you're the end of this finger, what does it take to get from up here, the head, to here? It takes all of this through here, right? This joint, this joint. That's a lot. Just to get back to the knuckle. Well, that's not counting your wrist and your arm and elbow and your shoulder. Your neck, all the way up to your brain. Boy, Christ, the head, right? Well, if I'm this part, I need a lot of members to get to the head, don't I? I've got to depend on other people. Ain't that amazing that God set it up like that? By that which every joint supplies. We all have a supply. If we don't get with Him and develop a relationship and find our place, then we're missing something. and that will hinder me from doing my part. But boy, a lot of people don't want to hear that either. But you have a lot of people who, you know, get offended over. But see, that's this teaching that we're going to get to hear from Pastor Todd, Spirit, Soul, and Body, I think will clear a lot of this up. And a lot of wrong thinking. But like I said, I don't have the answer to everything, but I know the one who does. Right? And he can correct me when I'm wrong. Now, a lot of people, you can tell the maturity level of somebody when you correct them. Yeah. Yeah. When you find out that when somebody corrects you, you know exactly where they are because of the way they act. And that's the truth. Yeah. I know we were talking the other day and here, and I made the statement of that the Holy Spirit, the way I put it across was the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. And that's wrong. Yeah. He convicts us of our righteousness, our right standing with Him. He convicts the world of sin, not sins. And that sin is unbelief. That's what He does. He convicts the world of sin, which is unbelief. And I thank Wanda for bringing me the paper. And I really didn't mean that he was trying to show me what's wrong in my life all the time. No, he's trying to teach me his righteousness, my right standing with him, and who I am as a Christian. What it means to be blood-bought, what it means to serve, and what it means to be part of the vine. Right? But see, didn't Jesus say, being part of that vine, that everyone he loves, he's going to prune, right? And he's going to... Is pruning good? I know when I was growing up, I watched them trim grapevines and get out working in the garden, and we cut tomato vines back, and we tied this. And we that wasn't always good. You think, man, we just killed that plant. You know? But it wasn't long, that thing. And all of a sudden, we got tomatoes as big as both my hands together. What's our potential? Our heart, you know, Our heart knows things that our head don't. And I'm telling you that that out of your heart, you know, if you make these changes and allow it to be pruned, to allow yourself to be pruned, to allow yourself to allow the Word of God to correct you, because I was wrong in saying the Holy Spirit does. But He is your helper. He is your counselor. He is your advocate, your teacher, your standby, your strengthener, your intercessor. He's all these things. And Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away. If I don't go away, He's not going to come. Because you need that. Ain't that right? Sure we do. And like I said, your flesh don't like it. And of course, we're going to learn too about our mind. Which is really good. Because how are we going to be transformed? You have to be transformed. Through the renewing of your mind. Ain't that right? Ain't that what? I believe that's in Romans also. Be not conformed to this world. So is there a possibility that we could be conformed to this world? If He told us to be not? There is a chance that you could be conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we know as a three-part being that our mind, which we call our soul, well, it's not born again, right? But we also know from reading some of the parables that when we leave this body, our spirit leaves. Does our soul go with it? Our thinking part, does it go with it? Sure it does. You remember the story about Lazarus? And he went into Abraham's bosom, right? And the rich man went into it called Sheol, or Hades is what. So he said in torment, he lifted up his eyes. And he said, would you tell him to send one of my brothers back to love? Or just send a drop of water, you know, just to touch my tongue. So was his thinking there? Was his soulish part there? Was his feeling there? Sure it was. So to think that your soul is not going to leave with you, that would be wrong. Your spirit and your soul, it takes the Word of God to even divide that. That's how close they are. Ain't that right? So yes, your soul's going to go with you. But here on earth, you have to renew your mind in order to be transformed. Ain't that right? Well, whose responsibility is that? If I say it all depends on Jesus, or if it, you know, that's my responsibility. That's your responsibility. Right? So we have to, in order to develop, and that's what we were taught in prayer class when we started a few years ago here, that, you know, this was designed that we learn how to build a relationship with the Lord. Is that correct? Sure it is. So our relationship is. It took 38 years to get the relationship that I have with Teresa, that we have now. So people say, as a couple spends time together, they start looking alike. They start thinking alike, start doing things alike. And I've even seen some funny things about they wear the same clothes and this and that. You know, they're dressed in yellow shirts and, you know. But that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be being conformed to His image. Ain't that right? Be ye followers of God as dear children. Or that word followers means imitators. Right? So the more time we spend with Him, the more we're going to start identifying with Him and start thinking like Him, start acting like Him. You know, situations arise at work and you know, and it gets interesting, really does. But I don't know what I would do if I didn't have a relationship with the Lord. I would be doing some silly things, and believe me, I see some silly things going on at work. And I'm going, I don't know where that thinking. Well, I do know where that thinking come from. You know, so, but it also gives me opportunity to pray, and it gives me opportunity to be salt. Now, I tell you, when you're salt, sometimes people don't like it. You heard the saying, salt in the wound? It don't always feel too good. It stings sometimes. And, you know, because I don't join myself to certain cliques, you know, it looks like I don't get some of the rewards, so to speak, that other people get. But I'm not looking for that. He said that he knowed how to promote me when it comes to the right time. What I've read, and when I get promoted, boy, it's a promotion that I'm going. And nobody can say, well, I don't know how he got. Because when he does it right. You know what I'm saying? And those type of things are just, you know, you can't buy with money. I don't care how much you depend on it to happen or try to force your way into something or try to, you know, it really don't work that way. It really don't. But as long as we're keeping him first, you know, it is an amazing journey. And it really is. When Teresa and I got married, I've told this before. We were attending a little Brethren church, and there probably wasn't, Teresa, 40 people maybe there on a Sunday, but there were several young kids, and she taught Sunday school, and we were learning things. Back then, we listened to Jimmy Swagger. That was our big thing, you know. He helped a lot of children back then. And so we were given, you know, back then, I think I made around $830 a month working on the dairy farm. So I got paid once a month. So, you know, $830 back then seemed like a lot. But anyway, so we lived in this little 12 by 50 trailer. But anyway, so we had purchased this trailer, and we had set it up. And I had after I paid the preacher for the service that night, I had about $12 left on me. So our running joke back then was she married me for my money, or I married her for her money because I didn't have none. And she married me because she felt sorry for me. So we didn't really invite anybody other than family and the church to the wedding. But there was about 100 and some people showed up at this church when we got married. And I mean, it was full, wasn't it, Teresa? And I wasn't even sure if we had enough cake for people to eat. I don't know. It was, but anyway. The boys I worked for on the dairy farm gave me enough money to get a motel room that night because we were going back to the trailer. So we come over to Blacksburg. That was our honeymoon. We went all the way to Blacksburg. So anyway, it's funny now, but it wasn't so funny back then. But. We had enough money to do it, and we stopped at the grocery store on the way back home because I had to be at work Monday morning. So we come back on the Sunday and back to work Monday.
You know, we ran into people that was at our wedding when we was grocery shopping.
Well, we're going to get something to eat. Yeah, we were 19 and knowed everything. Right. We knowed absolutely nothing. And that was fun, but God, but we love the Lord. We did back then. We didn't know anything at all. And what was amazing about the Brethren Church is that once you got in the church, you know, they put you to work. You know, you can teach Sunday school. You could be the school the Sunday school superintendent. They get you up and let you read. But they put you to work. And I'm going, you know, I don't know if you want me reading, you know. I read some at home, but anyway. But we were learning things, but we were learning how to pray. And what was amazing to me is I sensed in my heart, and I told Teresa, I said, the Lord, I believe, is telling me to stop giving to Jimmy Swaggart Ministry. And I said, I don't know why, but I like helping the kids. you know, because we were given into a children's program. And so we quit giving to it. And it wasn't just a few weeks, then all that come out about. But see, because we were honoring God with what we knowed at that time, God was helping us. And so all, you know, he repented from all that, you know. And I remember years later, I was working in a machine shop, and it wasn't but about 13 of us in there on night shift. And we were all sitting in the break room, and they were running down Jimmy Swaggart, and they were running down Jim Baker. All that scandal come out, blah, blah, this and that. And I was just sitting there, and I said, Lord, how would I answer them if they were to ask me? You know, what I thought about it. Because, I mean, these guys were pretty rough. They wasn't cutting them no slack. Because they were men of the gospel. They were preachers. And what does the world do? They justify by the way they live to pull somebody down like that, because they're supposed to be setting an example, right? So it makes them feel good about what they're doing. Well, so I'm sitting there, and I heard it just as plain as if we were talking to each other. I mean, it rose up in me. He said, you tell them, if they asked you, if you tell them, you tell them that you're glad that that they are not your judge and jury. Oh, I heard that. I heard that just, I'm glad you're not the one who's going to judge me. He is. Because I'd be guilty, you know, because I've made lots of mistakes. Maybe not on the scale or publicized the way that is, but I've made plenty of mistakes. And that would have put that to bed real quick. That would have ended that. Oh. But you know what? It didn't happen. But I was ready. And I thank God I was ready. But it, you know, but there's been situations like that where I can see the hand of God being on us and helping us all the way. But I just want to share some of my heart today. And to know that, you know, we don't just discard the things that we were taught when we were young. We learn from them. Ain't that right? Yeah. And so it's like I believe Kenneth Hagin said best. He said, you know, you can eat the hay and leave the stubble. You know, because we've heard a lot of stubble over the years. Sometimes you just got to spit it out. You know, it's just like, because when we grow, you know, we got to realize that we're not perfect either. Right? And we're growing too. So, anyway, I wanted to share. I had one scripture wrote down, and I wanted to share it. Well, it's two verses. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. And this is a good one. It's all good. Amen. 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, 16 says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and teaches us to do what is right. It is God's way of preparing us in every way, fully equipped for every good thing God wants us to do. Now, the King James says it this way. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's pretty good, ain't it? That's what the Word of God will do. It'll help you straighten out what's wrong in your life. It'll show you what's true. It'll show you the direction you need to go. It will answer your questions that you have. That's what the Word of God does. And it's inspired by God. All Scripture, it says, all Scripture is inspired by God. It is God-breathed. It is straight from His heart. But anyway. So I hope you got something out of it today.
Amen.
I know I always do. Thank you for your patience with me. I realize that I get a little emotional because I get pretty passionate about when people start talking about God and they talk wrong. Sometimes it's all I can do to constrain myself, because you don't want to come across in a spirit of aggravation or upset, because that's wrong, right? So he's helping me through that, and I'm allowing him, you know. It says to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So, you know, I'm keeping my ears tuned. When I hear something, and I know it's wrong, I'm very slow to get back in their face. Slow to speak, slow to wrath, because then I would have to back up and go and apologize and say, look, I was wrong. And then they're looking at me the way I handled it. Ain't that right? But as a mature Christian, you know, that's what the Word of God does. It straightens out our doctrine. It straightens out our belief. It shows you what is true, is what we just read. And it makes you a perfect. What does perfect mean? Not, well, a lot of people think, you know, that there's no flaw. It makes us complete, right? So He will help us complete ourselves, complete this journey that we're supposed to be doing, right? He will help us in every area. Amen. All right. Thank y'all.